You know our slogan around here is better practice, better life. But we're taking this belief to the next level. And we've recently announced the creation of a new association. It's called the Best Practices Association. Our association celebrates the mindset that is better practice, better life. This mindset celebrates time, healthy living, personal growth, clinical excellence, and impacting the lives of your patients and your team through intentional leadership. In fact, we are the work-life balance experts in dentistry. The BPA will coach independent dental practices like yours to thrive by sharing best practices and operational habits, behaviors, systems, tools, and insight that lead to profitability and sustained growth, and you can still have a life. So if you're a dentist that wants to surround yourself with great thinkers, let us help you create your own version of better practice, better life. Go to actdental.com/BPA or hit the link in the show notes.
This is Bill Robbins.
And I'm Joshua Austin, and you are watching The Best Practices Show.
Hey guys, welcome back to The Best Practices Show. We take a look at the best business practices from the best dental practices all over. And man, do I have a show for you tonight. I've got two of my favorite people of all time. I would put them both in headlocks if we were both in the same place at the same time. Josh Austin and Bill Robbins, who these guys are geniuses and they're amazing people. And tonight we're going to be talking about a topic that you are going to love. If you're a dentist, you're trying to figure out how to grow a practice and reduce the friction between phone call all the way through treatment. And I've got two of the worldwide experts on this. You do not want to miss this. So do me a favor, grab a pen and hit the share button. You're going to love this. Now, a couple things before we get started. We're going to move pretty fast and we're going to be asking a lot of different questions. I know if you're thinking something, go ahead and, you know, send it to us. We're going to make sure that we give you the best information during these. Also, keep sending us suggestions for things that you guys want to see on the show. We have over 38,000 followers on Facebook and I don't know, 70 some thousand downloads, I think yesterday. No, I'm just kidding. It wasn't yesterday, but I don't even know how to read all this stuff. It's like blowing up all over the place. So, hey, just really enjoying this. So my guest today, now I told you a little bit about him, but I love you guys. And I always like to start here. Tell us who the heck is Josh Austin and tell us who the heck is Bill Robbins.
Well, my name is Josh Austin. I'm a restorative dentist in San Antonio, Texas. And this guy is literally my hero. He's my mentor. He's been a surrogate father for me over the years. I mean, he wrote my recommendation letter to dental school 19 years ago, something crazy like that. So I've, you know, had him as a role model my whole life. And I opened my own practice in San Antonio 10 years ago and started immediately thinking like, hey, there's a lot of dentists around me. And how am I going to set myself apart from those guys? Because it'd be dumb for me to try to do the same exact things they did. Let me try to find my niche. And so, you know, over the years, I've gotten really cool gigs. Like I'm a clinical columnist for Dental Economics, so I get to review products for that great magazine that's been around for a lot of years. And I do a podcast that's, I guess, a dental comedy podcast. If you concede that as a real genre, called Working Interferences, that's a fun time. And I get to do fun stuff like this with my hero. So this is, I might have him autograph my textbook before the end of this video podcast here.
Yeah. And I'm just going to say this before we meet Bill, like I listen to Working Interferences and there are times I'll be driving the car. I'm like, he did not just say that. Like, yeah, right. Oh my, I have to play it back. And I'm like, I didn't hear that. Oh my gosh, he did say that. So if you haven't listened to it, you have to. So it's,
yeah, no kids in the car for it. And It's at the end of a stressful day, it's a good unwind. Like the last thing you want to do is hear about best practices at that point. Like maybe you need some unwinding, something, some catharsis at the end of a hard day. That's what Working Interferences is for. It's like a port wine. You know, it has its place.
It does.
At the end of the meal.
That's right.
All right. Who's Bill Robbins?
All right, so I'm the old guy in the room. Obviously, I always am anymore. I didn't used to be, but I am now. So I'm a general dentist in San Antonio. I've been here for a long time. And my primary purpose through the years as a teacher, at least, has been trying to make systematic ways of making dentistry easier for dentists. You know, I've been on your program now, I don't know, probably four times, maybe. Mm-hmm. I don't really get invited on anymore. The reason I'm here today is because of Josh. And so we've talked about together, we talked about global diagnosis. That's the concept that I've been teaching now along with Jeff Rouse for the last 20 years. And it's a systematic approach of looking at that more complex interdisciplinary patient. And then we talked about, I think another time, the six tools that we teach, and that's the way of getting the teeth and the gingiva and such in the right place. So it's a systematic way of looking at that more complex patient in your practice. Another time, I think we talked about DSD, because mm-hmm. I have a significant interest in digital smile design as Coachman teaches it, and it's been a wonderful addition to my practice. And so everything along the line that I've taught through the years and that you and I've talked about in these best practice shows has been about systems. And essentially, it's about removing friction from the dentist's ability to get to the endpoint that he or she and the patient want to be at. So it's about removing frictions and friction in a systematic way. However, there are other areas of my practice that I've not paid as much attention to. And that's honestly, this is, you know, I'm not blowing smoke at my buddy next to me, but this has become his great area of expertise. And I'm going to tell you, and you've experienced this, I know, Kurt, one of the greatest joys in being a teacher, which I've been for a long time, is watching one of your students become your teacher. And that's exactly mm-hmm. what's happened with me and Josh. So in the area of, other than this global diagnosis thing, in the area of communication and the behavioral side of dentistry and this idea of removing friction, I've had to learn that because it wasn't intuitive for me as an older guy. It's right. intuitive for him. Plus he's worked at it, but he's helped me in the last several years in this area. So that's why we wanted to come together on this program and share this together as the old guy and the young guy, and where we sort of brought this together.
Yeah, I am so excited, you guys. We got point, counterpoint. We got a lot of different references, and I'm just, you know, I love just being part of the conversation. I don't know anything, so I just by osmosis, you guys teach me so much. Now, let's go to the why on this, because the whole friction systems, I love, you're speaking my jam, but if I'm a young dentist watching this, Bill, Josh, like, why is this so important? Bill, you've been doing this for a long time. Josh, you're the innovator here. Like, why is this important? Why is this an important topic in dentistry?
The why of it is that you can be the greatest dentist on earth, and if nobody comes and sits in your chair, then it doesn't really make a hill of beans.
Right.
And I'm at a transition point in my life because I literally sold my practice to another young dentist, young prosthodontist, Marcel Alvarez, who's just been one of the best things that's happened in my life in the last several years. So I'm no longer an owner. But when you sell your practice, you're selling all your patients. And essentially, all that I have left, and I still want to practice, and they want me to practice. My two bosses at this point still want me to be in the office. But the only patients really that are mine are those that are referred to me. All the patients in the practice essentially now are no longer my patients. It's my job to transition those patients. For the last 20 years, 15 to 20 years, the patients have showed up as I needed them. And I didn't have too many, but I had enough to be busy enough to make a good living and enjoy the pace that I was doing it at. This is no longer my reality. I want to continue to practice dentistry for actually quite a long time. And yet my patient base has dwindled down to very little. And so all of a sudden, being able to bring new patients to my practice is almost as important to me now as it was when I started this thing 25 years ago.
Right.
And so, you know, I've talked to friends like Josh and Eric Rendler and other people about this whole issue for me. I'm in some ways at the end of my career, a beginner, and I'm having to go back and start to think seriously about how I'm going to attract new patients to my practice with social media and other ways. And once they get to the social media part of it, how do I actually get them to choose me and come to the office? And so for the why for me is, in some ways, I'm an old guy. And in other ways, I'm a brand new practitioner, which is really cool. I'm enjoying this part of my life so much now, but I needed some help. And that's where Josh has come into this.
Yeah, it's awesome. And then Josh, your perspective on this, I mean, Bill, you've been always a consummate learner. I learned so much from you guys. And Josh, on your perspective, when it comes to your style of practice and your philosophy and young dentists watch, what do you see in a landscape? And then as far as removing friction, what's the why from your vantage point?
Yeah, it's, you know, it's just, it's getting so much more competitive these days. And you can't, you really can't drive more than a mile or two from most general dentist office in this country. And this is according to ADA research from the Health Policy Institute that basically says most GPs in this country practice within 2 miles of another general dentist. So that makes standing out all that much more valuable, and trying to figure out ways and thinking about things as far as like, how can I differentiate myself from the competitors? And people do a lot of research these days because it's so easy to do research. It's not going to the library anymore. You know, they can sit on their phone and in 3 or 4 or 5 minutes have a pretty good approximation of who the dentists are in their area that are offering the kind of services that they want, who takes their insurance, if that's part of it, any of that stuff. And then the key is hoping that they land on some of your digital footprint, and then you have to convert that landing. And that really is the hard part. You know, you look at hits on websites, and we all get thousands of hits on our websites every month, but we're not getting thousands of phone calls from our website. So what happens? You have somebody that hits your website and is looking for something. Why does that not always convert to a new patient? And trying to thin that margin so that more of those people that land their eyes on your website land their butts in your dental chair. And so that's, you know, you try to find things like that. And social's part of it. Online reviews are part of it. And then making it easy for them is part of it too. We're in a, you know, like you said earlier, we're in a one-click world. You need to click it, forget it. And so I think we need to improve as dentists in the ways that we do that. We need to improve in the ways we communicate with our patients. We need to step forward more so than we have done traditionally in order to keep up with what's going on.
Yeah. And you guys got to light the way here. I've always said you got to be easy to do business with. You know, the old days of learning how to do a comprehensive exam and then everything fits through that hole. That's a tough way to practice. You guys mentioned removing friction, but let's step out of dentistry for a second and then come back. I love the business that remove friction. I mean, you look at Southwest, they were the pioneers by making you check your own bags. I go to Delta's counter and Delta puts me, I have to get my bag taken. Then I got to get in another line while at Southwest, take my bag. I go right up the front and the woman goes, "Hey, love your shirt." I go, "Love yours too." You know, and Delta, they go, "Stand over here because we're not happy until you're not happy." Do you know what I mean? Type of a thing. And even at Fiserv, they built this huge arena for the Bucks. They're so excited because they've cut the checkout time in half. They now say it's like 8 seconds to get checked out because they figured out like the faster people come through here, get what they want,
the more money they make, right?
Absolutely. Like, right. Who can't figure out the register is like the major obstacle here. Now, I want you to couple this with, we got to be easy to do with business because we are now in a 24/7 society, which as much as I love better practice, better life, and I'll hold on to that forever. There are things I think about at 10 p.m. where I just want to send somebody a text and know that they're going to take care of it and come back, where you've got young dentists watching this who are open extended hours to try to grow their practice. Help me make sense of all this.
All right. So I used to be Delta. And I felt like early on that when patients got to see me, got to my office as a new patient, they were lucky that they ended up my office instead of the guy next door. Right. Well, that's no longer the paradigm. I've moved from Delta to Southwest. And my goal, and that happened actually quite a while ago, I realized they weren't lucky to get to me. I was lucky that they chose to come to me. I made that transition somewhere along the line. And so I think the Delta Southwest analogy is a perfect one. And I think that's exactly what we're all trying to do. Not only make it easier at the front end, but Southwest makes it easier everywhere along the way because they've got a culture of happiness. Yeah. And by and large, a culture of, we're happy that you're here. How can we serve you? As opposed to some of the other airlines. And so, for sure, I think for sure I've made the transition. I don't think you ever had to, but I've made the transition away from that idea that they're lucky that if you just come see me, I'm lucky. Thank you for making that choice.
Yeah, absolutely.
Right. Yeah. And we can't put we can't quantify quality, right? So I used to ask people all the time, well, what sets your dental practice apart from the guy down the street? And they say, oh, we do quality dentistry.
That's what everybody thinks.
Right. Number one, how do you quantify that? And number two, how do you know that the guy down the street doesn't say the exact same thing? Because I guarantee you he does. There's not a dental practice out there that if you ask them, what do they do well? They say, well, we do crappy dentistry pretty well. Like, no, everybody says that they do quality. And so that's a hard thing to sell because everybody is selling that same value proposition. And so, we have to find other ways. And like, I think DSD is an amazing differentiating factor, right? Digital smile design, like, you know it better than anybody apart from maybe Christian Coachman. That's one of those things that there's only a few people in San Antonio who are doing some of that.
Right.
And so when somebody needs comprehensive dentistry and they want that sort of preview, they want that, that social proof. They want that great selfie that you get for them. You know, you can set yourself apart that way. And especially using social media without having to pay a ton for marketing and direct mail and all that kind of stuff. You can really reach people that way and differentiate yourself that way. So
for sure, doing that motivational mock-up for a patient using DSD, talking about removing the friction, having a patient say
absolutely.
Yes.
I mean, yeah, it takes no time to do it all. I mean, you're talking about fast and it's high quality to give them the possibilities on what you can do.
Yeah. I mean, I've been presenting treatment plans now for almost 50 years. Mm-hmm. And so I've got good verbal skills and I'm reasonably good at getting people to say yes, but I've never been as effective as I have the last 3 years when I'm talking about more comprehensive, interdisciplinary, expensive type dentistry. I've never been more successful in having patients become excited about saying yes since I've been doing this motivational mock-up. So along the way, and this is new for me, this is only 3 years ago I started doing this. And so, you got to roll with the times. I mean, I'm the first to admit that, even though I'm an old guy and they're making fun of me about not being on Instagram, which I am.
By he is. He has one post.
I don't think he is. I looked for him. But I'm going to search after this. As a matter of fact, I'm going to share a link to this show to prove on his Instagram, and he'll have one follower. It's his precious wife. You know what I mean?
I'm absolutely on Instagram and I'm going to go home tonight and learn how to use it, but I'm on it.
Now your practice has been on Instagram for a while.
Yes. Right.
The practice, right. Stone Oak Aesthetic Dentistry has been posting some beautiful cases and I'm sure some are yours and some are Brad's.
Oh, they're all mine. I do all that work. I do all that. I do all the beautiful work. And I also do all the posting part.
Sure. Too. Of course. Yeah. He's well-versed in hashtags.
Yeah.
As we all know, that's why it's his nickname in my phone is hashtag.
That is awesome.
But it's, you know, when you talk about that type of dentistry, social's perfect for that, right? Yeah. Because you can show people, you know, you show people exactly what they want in a short, quick, digestible format instead of going through, you know, an hour conversation about crown lengthening and an hour conversation about ferrule effect and all, none of that stuff matters. They want to see what it's going to look like on them. And so I think that's the key to DSD. And so that's a huge differentiator. And that's one way that you're doing it. And I'm doing it at a less sophisticated level than you are, but understanding the value of it and trying to do as much as I can.
So yeah. We're learning from each other. That's what we continue to do. So hey, let's talk about the new patient experience, getting the new patient into the office. I think that's the part where I needed help.
Right now, I think everyone should do TV and billboards and just invest heavily. Now we know that's not true. I think this is where we're headed, guys. Like you gotta be easy to do business with, but we gotta be smarter. And I love the whole idea of knowing how much you spend on marketing and how much you get back, because it isn't the old days where you were the biggest dog in town type of a thing. I think that's it's kind of a silly way to go about it. So you guys have both had to find a new way to find new patients. And now I'm just going to share with you guys, if anyone's watching this, this is where it gets a little crazy for me, because what I love about these two guys is I heard about what you guys are doing. I'm like, I don't know. And you guys are pioneers. So take us through where you headed on the last, on your journey in the last 2 years.
So I've always realized, and my practice opened in 2009. And so right after an economic turndown and, you know, things are as in flux financially as they've been in this country in 50 years. And you know, it wasn't easy to get everything up and going. And I didn't have a ton of money built into my startup plan for marketing. It just, you know, it was just a rough time. I was literally, you know, applying for loans as Bear Stearns is, you know, pink listing or pink ticketing all their employees. And so banks weren't just super, you know, lenient with money at that time. And so I had to cut some stuff from my plan, and marketing was one of them. And one thing I started realizing pretty early on was when we got a Google review, my phone rang more the next day. And so that's kind of where that realization came, was as organic as that and sort of anecdotal, was, hey, I got a Google review yesterday, my phone rang four more times today. And so we really just started focusing on that because it was all we really could do. It's all we had the money or the budget for, which was basically zero. And we would actually see results from it. So we really started focusing on reviews and starting to try to build those reviews and really trying to make our new patient experience to where it would be conducive to people leaving us reviews. And so over the years, that's just kind of become the way that I market my practice. And coincidentally, it's sort of gone with the trajectory of that's the way that people look for things nowadays. Mm-hmm. You know, the Amazoning of everything where, you know, if you see something on Amazon that looks too good to be true, how do you find out about it? You look at the reviews on Amazon and see what other people have said, right? And so, you know, that has kind of gotten into the zeitgeist and gotten into people's habits as far as how they pick a business, how they pick a product, whatever it may be, how they do their shopping is probably a better way to put it. And so it has become hugely important. What then I started noticing was I could track through my website. I could track like where people got to my website from. And the number one referrer was my Google review page. And the number two referrer was Yelp. And like I said earlier, I had a ton of hits, but then I wouldn't have as many new patients convert. And so we started trying to figure out kind of where is that thing lost? And fortunately, we had a friend named Eric Rendler, who happens to be sitting in the corner over here.
He's a genius off
camera. He's a genius guy who did an MBA and started realizing some of the same kind of stuff. And he came up with this way to hopefully get new patients and prospective new patients to book with you right from your website. So the typical journey that I see my patients take or my new patients take from an electronic standpoint is they're looking at my Google reviews or my Yelp reviews, one of the two or both. Then they click over to my website because that's sort of the natural way that it goes. And then they see in the bottom left-hand corner of my webpage, new patients click here now to schedule, and they can schedule right then and there. That can be done any time of day, day or night, 8 a.m., 8 p.m., 2 a.m., whatever. And then, so we get, you know, we're capturing a lot more of those patients before they click and skip off to somewhere else. And so that's the idea is let's just capture them while they're hot. You know, you get the lead while they're hot. And that has made a huge difference for my practice.
Yeah. And I have a bajillion questions in the how, you know, because if we were in a marketing conference, you know, everybody'd be talking about conversion. You can create the greatest website in the world, but does it convert and create new customers? And Bill, tell us your journey on this. Was yours similar in any way to Josh's as far as people finding? Like, I know you're a highly referred practice, but what was your sense of what's going on with your website and how people were, what were your number one, number two, number three ways of getting into your practice as far as referral sources go?
Yeah, my referrals were primarily from three places. My best referrals came from specialists, either in town or out of town. Those are, for me, that's always been the best. I just have to not screw those up. Those people are already sold and they come in and they're good. The second place I got patients was from existing patients. And those were usually reasonably good also, depending on who the patient was that referred them, because the same kind of people refer the same kind of people. So those were generally good referrals. And then the third were the referrals that came from the marketing, the website, and so on. That was definitely third for me on the list in terms of where my patients came from. But I obviously, based on what I've told you before, I wasn't paying a lot of attention to that up until the last 6 months or so, because enough were showing up that my needs were met. Now, I did have times when I would become a little anxious, because everybody has a time when your new patient referrals that month go down or what you normally get, and it creates anxiety. Is this a pattern or is this just 1 month? But generally, it would come back up and I would be okay. But in the last 6 months, as my practice situation has changed, I became much more interested in following this idea that people are coming to our website, and they are, but most of them aren't being converted into active patients. And so that was my journey. And Eric came along with this concept called Schedule Widget at just the right time for me, as I was making this transition and starting to pay a lot more attention to the whole concept of not just having hits, but having conversions of new patients.
Yeah. Now you're going to have to wait, because I saw you guys at the Seattle Study Club Symposium. You guys are giving me numbers on new patients. I'm like, whoa, 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 wait, this doesn't make sense. And Josh, you're like, no, I'm not kidding. Like, so what is it? Like, how does this work?
Well, let me give you a couple of numbers first. These are some numbers from Pew Research. Sure. And for your viewers, I think these are seminal numbers that we have to pay attention to. I'm going to give you four.
Okay.
The first, 77% of people start their search for a new dentist online, not by word of mouth, online. The second number, 62% said they would switch providers to one with better online access.
Really?
Now, remember, okay, this is coming from Pew. This is legitimate research. The third, 64% of dental patients will book appointments online by 2019. Great. 64%. And here's the big one. 81% of patients prefer to schedule online. So what that means is 8 out of 10 of my old patients, my young patients, my middle-aged patients, 80% of all those patients would much prefer to schedule online rather than pick up the phone. My son would rather jump off of the Mississippi Bridge than pick up a telephone and call somebody. He's 28. he just won't do it. So essentially what he's telling me is, Dad, you've got to figure out a way to have an open table for dentistry. Yeah. And that's essentially what Eric created for us, which is called Schedule Widget.
That's so true. Cause I, even when I book restaurant, I'm not called the restaurant. I'm just going to open table unless it's some exclusive place that Josh has taken to me that doesn't participate with open table. Then we have to go with Josh because you can't get in any other way.
I took you to that real exclusive place here in San Antonio called Taco Cabana, which is,
well, it's packed, you know, and there's a side entrance where there's this big guy and he just goes and he made a table for us. And then he brought back guacamole. I'm like, I just got to hang out with Josh when I come to town.
The biggest thing that's scary for most people is the fact that, oh my goodness, a patient can pick where they want to come in. Mm-hmm. And it's like, well, yeah, I mean, that's kind of how it works anyway. I mean, your team gives them 4 or 5 options as far as when a new patient appointment opening is, and then they pick it. So the same thing's happening. It's just happening virtually. Your team is giving them 4 or 5 or 6 or 10 or however many options they want to give. And then the patient gets to pick it. We're just removing that friction in the middle of having to pick up the phone and make an appointment. The integration, right, I think, is one thing that scares people and getting it up and going. And the way I did is I kind of appointed a champion in the office, a online scheduling champion. And so Ashley's role in my office is to handle all of that. So when we get a new patient that schedules online on my website, I get an email that comes to me. I get an email that goes to the office. I make sure Ashley has that the next morning so that she can get the patient, you know, make sure everything's checked in, make sure everything looks good. And then contact the patient if there's anything else she needs, insurance information, whatever, health history, whatever that stuff. She handles all of that. And then she makes sure that what's on the website as far as availability to pick is accurate. Everything's where we want it, you know, and they tailor make that all that kind of stuff based on how they want to make the schedule up front. So she's my online scheduling champion, and that's how I handle it.
So basically, I mean, I think most people can get this. You're going to pre-appoint when these times are. People just don't have, you know, full access to your schedule and put something in on a Sunday and then you got to show up for that. You're basically going to pick them and then they're going to pick from the available slots that are, and you predetermine what those would be. Right. I use a thing called Calendly. I couldn't live without it. I just predetermine when those are and they pick. So that's one.
Let's clarify how this thing works a little bit.
Okay.
Yeah. First of all, because it's downloaded very simply. It takes very little effort to do that. And now there is an icon on the first page of the dentist website. And it says schedule an appointment. It's green, the bright green. When the patient hits that button, there are two possibilities. One possibility is that the dentist just chose not to have appointments available there. It just says request an appointment. So the patient hits that button. And then it comes up and it will auto-populate their name and they'll put in their telephone number and email address if it doesn't come up. And then that will come to the dental office. And if that's happening at 8 o'clock on Saturday night, then there will be a pop-up that goes on the computer at the dental office at 8 o'clock and an email will be sent at 8 o'clock. Now, it may not be read until the next Monday morning at 8 a.m, but that's going to go to the computer just as soon as that occurs. So then it's the dentist office obligation to then call that patient and then start the process of finding the right time for the appointment and talking about the issues associated with the office, how the office works. That's one way to do it. The other way to do it, which we both think is the better way, is that the champion in the office that's in charge of this picks times that are available, made available for Schedule Widget patients. So it's going to be a time. This is only for new patients in the practice. So it's going to be a time when it's already marked off in the book as Schedule Widget. And if you go to our website, there's going to be about five or six appointments over the next 2 weeks that a patient can hit. If they hit one appointment, let's say 9:30 on next Monday morning, they hit that, then it comes up once again and it says, thank you for choosing this appointment, date and time. Then you have the opportunity to put in, or they have the opportunity to put in their email and their name and all that, which generally populates on its own. And then they have the appointment. It's theirs. And the pop-up comes to the dental office and the email comes to the dental office. And then the champion looks at that pop-up and says, okay, Mrs. Jones just took that 9:30 appointment. She puts it in the book and then she calls the patient. So the decision has been made at this point in history in the journey of Schedule Widget, not to have the Schedule Widget integrate with the software. And that's by design, because if it integrates with the software, then you do lose control as to where the patient goes. Right. So in this way, the dentist or the champion has total control because there's only certain spots. So just to review it, a dentist can choose not to provide specific appointment times and just have the ability to hit the button and at least get the process started, where the dental office will then call them up at the next convenience, or the actual appointments can be there that the patient can pick.
Okay. So this is so good. Now let's say, Bill, the first question I have as I'm listening is, what about a filter? Like, hey man, I'm in downtown Chicago. If I put this on my site, I'm going to get so many, what if I'm a dentist in his late 40s going, look, I have a particular type of practice. Can you speak to that? Like, so you're saying she can then, the champion can kind of decide if this is a good fit for 9:30 and sign off on that. How do you prevent from everybody just getting into your schedule? Have you guys talked about that? Or let's say it's an insurance specific patient. That's the only thing on their mind. And maybe I don't really participate. Those are some of the questions that come to mind when it comes to this.
Yeah. So, in those situations, I have yet to find a crazy, an insane patient that's coming off the schedule with
it. Oh, I'm sending you one.
Awesome. Now we've just, I'm knocking myself on wood so that it's smart will happen. No, I mean, it's the same patients that I see. I found no difference between the personalities of the patients that I see off schedule widgets and the patient that I saw before we instituted schedule widgets. I couldn't tell the difference, to be honest with you.
Well, I mean, the point is that it is the same patients.
Right.
It's the ones that just didn't make appointments because it wasn't frictionless. In other words, these are the same patients that came to your website that got there from one reason or another. They're exactly the same people. It's just that it was easier for them to appoint.
Right.
So really, it's no different than screening any other new patient on the phone. If the champion screens somebody on the phone and they're raving lunatic, doesn't mean they have to be appointed.
I'm a big proponent of communicating with people the way they want to be communicated with, right? So Bill talked about his son, Andrew, who would rather, jump off the bridge than make a phone call. We do a lot of texting in my office. And so it's not uncommon for us to text or email the people who have scheduled on schedule widget, because they've already proven to me that they'd rather do things electronically right than do it via voice. Mm-hmm. So we follow up with them either via text or via email and do our digging that way. But if something comes up where, hey, they're MetLife PPO and I'm not a MetLife provider, then that's fine. We reopen that appointment and it's no big deal. I would rather find out about it then, a week or two before, than, when the patient shows up, had that not been filtered out on the phone. So, the same questions, the same filtering processes, all those things still happen. It just makes it easier for you to get the lead of the patient and for you to close that quote unquote lead, which I hate like using that word because mm-hmm. it just reminds me of Alec Baldwin and Glengarry Glen Ross just screaming about the Glengarry leads and how first prize is a Cadillac, second prize is knives, and third prize you get fired. So I hate using the word lead. That's really what it is.
That coffee down.
Coffee's for closers, Kirk. Coffee is for closers. Schedule widget's a closer. That's all I can say.
It is a closer. So you're streamlining the whole process. Now, let's say I'm a young dentist. I'm still watching this. You got me so far, but I'm a little, let's put some data to this, because you guys were telling me this a couple months ago. Just give it to me. How many people are doing this on your website per month for both of you?
So I think I'm up to, I don't remember the last number, but I'm up into the 50s or 60s of patients who have booked off of schedule.
Whoa, 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 whoa. 50 or 60 new ones.
Yeah. 50 or 60 new patients just off schedule widget. And this is fairly new in my practice.
Okay. First of all, that's a lot of new patients.
Yeah.
I think most people would go, that's just way too many new patients. But the same thing, you're like, okay, well, you need to have that many so you can find out how many are the right fit.
Sure.
And if you're listening to this, I mean, 4 new patients a month, more than you're getting right now, adds a lot. Would you agree?
Right. Absolutely. Okay. And so we track a lot of things in my practice. I track where patients come from. I track who fails appointments. I track all that kind of stuff. And so that another thing people are always concerned about is, oh, people click online. They haven't had an interaction with anybody. They're more likely to fail the appointment. Okay. And my internal data has not shown that to be true. Now, I'm an N of one. I don't know what Bill's data is, but my anecdotal number is 87% of people who have booked on schedule widget have completed their appointment.
That is a lot.
And that's consistent with what my numbers are on pretty much everything else. So within plus, 1 or 2 percentage points. So,
okay. I'm going to pause right here. I don't know who I heard this from, but I heard every day in the United States, out of all the patients that are trying to make an appointment as a new patient, only 32% of them actually complete the appointment. So to say 87%, that's phenomenal. That's like crazy. Bill, what are your numbers? Like, give me some perspective on yours.
Well, ours are much less than that, but I mean, we obviously I'm slowing down and so on. So mine are about 4 a month. I've had about 4 a month, but I'm going to assume that those 4 probably at least 3 out of those 4 very likely would not have appointed if the friction hadn't been removed. Right. Let me give you an example. We're trying to push the patients to my partner, Dr. Alvarez, my young prosthodontic partner. We're trying to move all the new patients to her that are coming off of the website because she owns the website. They're not referring to me. They're referring to the website, to the practice. So really they're to her. So on our website, when you go to schedule widget, the next page comes up and you'll see about 5 appointment times over the next 2 weeks for her, only her, not me and not the other partner, Dr. Beckel. And the reason is we're trying to push the patients to her. Now, if we wanted to all 3 have appointment times on schedule widget, we could have that. Right. We could have my name with times, Beckel's name with times, and Alvarez's time. If we had multiple offices, that can be done also. So it can work any number of ways that you want it to work. So for me, it's not, the numbers aren't near as big, but let me give you an example of about 2 weeks ago. So Dr. Alvarez, my partner, has open appointments in her book now because she's building a practice. And so she'll have, 3 schedule widget time frame per week for new patients. And a patient went to our website, went to schedule widget on a Sunday night. She had broken a tooth, a front tooth, on a Sunday night at dinner, found Dr. Alvarez, found the appointment, which happened to be the next day at 9:30. And what are the chances that 9:30 appointment would have been filled when it wasn't filled at 6 o'clock on Sunday night before? Mm-hmm. And so this was a real patient, not a wacko. This is a real patient that had a real job that was concerned about getting her tooth fixed, but didn't have the ability to just come to the dentist at any time. She had the opportunity to pick the time that worked for her. And she's now turned in. I mean, she was taken, her emergency was taken care of. And now she's become a comprehensive patient in the practice. So that's exactly the person that we're talking about here, that we're trying to take the friction out so that we get them into the practice the first time.
Yeah. And like I said, I mean, 4 patients, which is exactly the number you're getting in additional, that's phenomenal for a practice. And let me also say this about you. You're an educator in dentistry. So you're not doing 45 hours a week as a dentist clinically. I mean, you're jumping on a plane a lot of Thursdays or even Wednesdays. So, I mean, what are you doing? Like 18 hours a week now clinically, or maybe even 10. So that makes
me tired thinking of that, buddy.
I mean, you've got
18 hours in 1 week. Oh,
no,
my God.
I mean,
lot, man. That's a lot.
I know, but you've got the schedule that's right for you at this particular point. So I would say 4 is a considerable percentage of your schedule, and probably the same applies to you. And then lastly, I'm going to say this, with 1 follower on Instagram and 4 new pages, we're going to double that because I'm going to follow you tonight, which gives you 2 followers on Instagram, which next time we're going to do a follow-up on this. You better have 8 next month, brother.
Oh, I got lots of followers on Instagram. All over the world, people are following me. I'm just not giving
them
any.
He needs new posts. That's what the problem is.
Hey, Josh, you got to help both of us out. I had 1 follower. It was my daughter, and then she unfollowed me. I went back to zero.
That's a tough one. We were supposed to do this last Monday, and his daughter had a baby last Monday. So he left town to go. And what would be a better thing to put on an Instagram than maybe a picture of you holding your new grandbaby? Any posts on Instagram of the new grandbaby?
I haven't hearted any photos, but I would heart that one.
I'm going to get around to it.
Of course.
That's awesome. That is awesome. So now I'm assuming that when the patient books it, it's also going to integrate with their calendar. So if I have in my phone and I've got Gmail or whatever, I'm going to see that I made an appointment with Dr. Bill Robbins tomorrow at 9:30, right? It's going to show up in my schedule or not?
It sends them a confirmation email and then, you know, gives them the ability to do that if they so choose to do that.
Okay.
Yeah. So, you have to, like, when I schedule with you for Calendly, it sends me an email with that information, but I have to click a couple times to get it to actually go into my calendar. It doesn't just go right in there, but it gives them that ability or gives them that email reminder for them to then, you know, if they want to click on that, great. If not, they don't have to.
Yeah. So, and I always ask this question, Josh, what's the future look like for us in dentistry as this trend continues?
I think the future is AI in, at least in the practice management part of the practice and the patient facing part of the practice, so that somebody could text a question into the office number and the AI is smart enough to sort of pass the Turing test, but also get the patient the information they need. So you have a bot that lives on your computer that's going to be able to give patient post-op instructions. Oh, your temporary crown fell off. Here's a YouTube video about a quick way to put it on, whatever, you know, and then, you know, I'm sending an alert to our office manager who will then call you on Monday morning to get you set up to put that in, whatever, whatever. AI incorporating into that sort of world is where we're headed. You know, the question is how quick is it going to be before we get there and who does it first? And obviously, you know, with AI, we have, I mentioned the Turing test, and what that is named after Alan Turing, who's basically the scientist who broke the Enigma machine in World War II. But he was a computer programmer who came up with the idea of, here's a test of 20 questions that a person could ask to a computer, and these 20, within 20 questions, you should be able to figure out, am I talking to a computer or I'm talking to a person? Well, we now have AI that can pass the Turing test. We don't have it in dentistry yet, but it's on the way. And so I think we'll all have some sort of system that lives in our phone system so that a patient can text us at any time and get some information, get emergency help, you know, get some information about when their next appointment is, because it's going to be tied to our PMS system. You know, that's really where we're going, is the integration of AI into what we do. And so, you know, at the end of the day, our good buddy and colleague Rick Schwartz says dentistry will always be a cottage industry. And so, you know, there are inherent limitations and there are inherent advantages to that. And that's true. We'll never have AI that can do a root canal, but we can't have AI that manages the other friction parts of it, so that we don't have a patient who's upset that their temporary came off on Saturday and there was nobody there to answer their questions and things like that. So, you know, I think at some point schedule widget will, you know, be built with some AI, you know, that down the road will have the ability for you to text a number and book it just by having a conversation with some, you know, ethereal person who doesn't actually exist.
Well, I know who the person is behind the development, and if he's brilliant and he's on that, he'll make that happen. So,
So I don't want to be oversensitive here, but why did you ask Josh about the future and not me? I'm the old guy. And,
Bill,
and,
you know, tell us about the future. Other than grandbabies and having fun and like, what do you think the future is? No, and all honestly,
onlays.
No, you know, yes, no, Bill, I love it. And I didn't mean to just like to exclude you from, you know, I know you're very sensitive and I've been diagnosed as a wuss too. So now I'm in a full sweat because I didn't ask you the question. But Bill, what's the future look like from your vantage point? Like, let me just say this. You're out there speaking all over the world. A lot of times I'm picking up your scraps. Like, I'll come here and they're like, hey, we had Robbins a couple of weeks ago. You better be a quarter as good as he was. So, like, there's a lot of pressure on the rest of us. So what's the future look like?
All right, well, thanks for asking, Kurt. And the answer is, I don't know.
Me through all the torture and then you said, I don't know.
I don't know. I don't have a hint.
The future is Andrew Robbins, DDS. That's the future. Bill's son is a freshman in dental school. And I guess taking his first histology final like in 2 days. So
I do think the future, Josh was talking about AI. And I've been reading quite a bit about AI, and I do think the future is brighter for dentists compared to bankers and lawyers and insurance people, because all of that can be done with AI right now. internal medicine doctors, it can all be done with AI right now. But dentistry can't be done with AI. It's a long ways off. So I think the future is really bright.
I do too. And this is a leading question that I ask you every time you're on the show. Do you think there's ever been a better time to be a dentist?
There's never been a better time to be a dentist.
Josh, what do you
think? I think that's true. I just think it takes, you can't just hang out a shingle anymore and expect for everybody to come. And so if that's what you think of as far as the greatest time in dentistry is, you know, I don't know what, the mid-80s, 1984, you could graduate dental school, open up your office 2 weeks later and hang out a shingle and have nothing to worry about. Those days are done. But I think the upside is much greater today. The integration that we have with the entire healthcare system is greater today. Technology affects us and has more growth in dentistry in the past 5 years than I think you would have ever imagined. And I think we continue to see that grow. So I think it's still great, depending, and I think it's the best time ever, depending on what you're looking at as far as what that means to you.
Well, for sure. But in 1980, when you could hang your shingle out and go to work, and the first day you went to work and you were doing one of about four things. You were taking a tooth out, you were making a denture, you were doing an amalgam, or you're doing a gold crown, right?
And without gloves.
Yeah, exactly. And there's nothing wrong with any of those four things. And we still do all four of those things today. But it's about that much of what we do today. And that's why it's such a better time, because from an emotional, psychic point of view, doing that kind of dentistry was not rewarding enough to make most people happy. That's the reason they had to fly airplanes and run for Congress and do lots of other things, because doing those four things weren't enough to really meet your spiritual needs as a dentist. And today, holy cow.
Yeah, it's pretty
powerful. I'm not saying it's easy out there. It's not easy out there, but it's so much more interesting than it used
to be. Well, I think we could all agree. It's not getting any easier. No. We just have to get better or smarter in this whole process. And I think everybody watching this would agree. If you can get them through the door, they're going to stay. Would you agree with that? The hardest part is the first part of the statement is getting through the door. And what you guys are talking about today is just reducing the friction, differentiating yourself in a very cost-effective way. Like, this thing works while you sleep. Okay. Like, how much easier is that? And I don't think we are ever going to be a world that gets away from these things, as much as I hate it. People are going to now get tanned artificially from doing this too much, you know?
Yeah.
So
there's one other thing we need to talk about, and that's the financial issues associated with this. In other words, this sounds pretty good. You know, what does it cost?
Right.
And the good news is at this point, there is no cost associated with it for the dentist.
So, wait. Is this like, I don't know what the future is? Is it? Okay.
I saw your eyebrow go up.
Nothing is free. Okay. Nothing is free.
Okay. The reason that there's no cost to the dentist right now is because the power in this is going to be in the numbers. And there will be a point down the road when clearly this is going to be big enough that it will have impact on much larger industries, insurance industries and implant companies and so on. But to have any clout with industry, you have to have subscribers. You have to show that you've got a significant number of dentists that are actually using this product. So that's the reason right now that there's no cost associated with it. And the other thing I want to say is that Josh and I sound a little bit like schedule widget prostitutes, and we are not. We do not get paid for doing this. We're just sharing this information because, I mean, it's just been such a good thing in both of our practices. And so we're just here to tell people about it and try to spread the word, because at this point, it's all up with no down.
Yeah.
Right. And when you talk to the creator, Eric Rindler, about it, one of his core values is he doesn't want to make money off the backs of dentists. You know, this really should be driven by market partners. And so that's hopefully where this is going to come in. But right now it's 100% absolutely free. There's no cost to sign up. There's no cost to start it on your website. Within 5 minutes, you can have it up on your website. Your team watches 5 to 10 minute video, and they're off and going. So this thing is up, and you could have this thing up and going tonight if you wanted to. It literally is a few clicks. It's that easy. It doesn't cost you a thing. To me, it's a total win-win proposition. There's no downside of doing this. At the very least, it costs you 5 minutes of time. But hopefully we'll put, you know, several new patients a month into your practice and build from there and just make your patient's experience better. Because if their experience is better, what rating are they more likely to give you on the way out the door?
Well, this is a no-brainer. So if I'm a dentist watching this, and please, for the benefit of people that might be listening on iTunes and don't have, you know, tell us where to go. Like, just tell me where. We're going to put all this in the show notes. I'll put links to them. But if I'm driving and listening, where do I go to get this? What is it? And how do I find it?
Schedulewidget.com.
Okay. And just sign up there. That's it.
Sign up there. There's a demo button there where you can click for a demo. It all happens from there. Like I said, you could be up and going in 5 minutes if you wanted to.
Generally, most dentists aren't their own webmaster. So generally, they're going to want, when you sign up, they're going to want the email address of the webmaster. And the webmaster is going to be the one that's going to download and put it on your website. But those are all minor details that, like Josh said, I mean, it doesn't take very long to sign up and do it. So we've talked about a lot today. And Schedule Widget is one little bitty part of a great big discussion that we've dipped our toe into today. And obviously, there's lots more room to talk about, especially the things Josh was on, and that's the social media part. So Schedule Widget is just a little bitty part of a great big issue, but it's one that essentially there's no downside to, and there's a giant upside.
Right.
And it's a gift. It's basically a gift to dentistry right now that Eric's giving to dentistry to make it better, make dentistry better, not on the backs of the dentist.
Absolutely. So I'm going to encourage you guys to check it out. Schedulewidget.com, the developer behind it, I'll say this. He's not some tech guy coming into dentistry. He's a true dentist, periodontist, and an excellent one. So he understands the mind and needs of a great dental practice. So check it out. You guys will absolutely love it. We're going to post this in the show notes. I'll add some links, and then I'll ask you guys to answer some questions as we get it up going on social media. We might even put it on Instagram, share it on Bill's account, get that thing going. That'll be awesome. And I am going to have you guys both back continuously, Bill. Don't feel like Bill was saying it. I am not on the show anymore. Bill, I love you. I got kids and it's been busy and I know.
As
you know how it is.
As long as I'm with Margis or I'm with Josh Austin or I'm with some good looking, young, smart guy, there'll always be a place for me. As long as I got one good one with me. I know.
Do me a favor. Can you touch? He's probably put gel in that hair, hasn't he? He's got, your hair over there.
I can tell you exactly what's in my hair. If you want, we can do that. We can do a whole hair podcast if you want.
All right. We're going to have you guys back. We're going to talk about hair. We're going to talk about new things happening. And Josh, I really would love to do another follow-up on what Bill just talked about, like where to start with social media. I know I keep asking you that question, but that's a monster that keeps getting bigger for some of us. You know what I mean?
Totally.
It's too much. So we'll have you guys back. So thank you guys for being on. I know, you know, you guys are taking some time away from your loved ones and we just can't thank you enough. So stick around while we say goodbye to everybody else, but thank you guys for watching the Best Practices Show. And if you enjoyed today, which I know you did, just do us a favor, hit the share button, share with your friends, keep sending us suggestions that you guys want to see for your shows. And I'm going to keep having these guys back. So send us suggestions and I'll ask these guys the tough questions and we'll get the answers from the experts. So until we see you next time, keep watching the Best Practices Show. You guys have a great evening.